I want to talk for just a few moments about the teaching that Jesus gives on going the extra mile. And we'll get to that passage in just a few moments. But as we begin to think about some lessons that maybe we can take away from Jesus' teaching, I can't help but look at the society around us and realize that it just seems to be going downhill fast. I think of how much we have lost the common courtesies in our general society around us, how people treat one another. It used to be that people in general were kind and courteous to one another. And you know, especially in the South, that was something that just was always known to be a part of the nature of people, is that people were going to treat you nicely for the most part. People used to say, please and thank you. You know, they were grateful when somebody did something for them. People used to say things like, yes ma'am and no sir, whenever they were dealing with other people. And maybe y'all still hear that quite a bit more down in the South than we hear in other places. Students used to talk to their teachers and it was always Mr. or Miss so-and-so. And a show of respect with the last names. But what I have seen even in my lifetime, and I'm not really that old yet, is that we have continued down that trail of becoming the me first generation. And with being the me first generation, a lot of those common courtesies has gone by the wayside because we're so focused on ourselves rather than focused on being concerned about other people. And so we've seen people become far more rude to one another. People who aren't even able to lift a finger, it seems, to help somebody out. And it has become such a society that we will just beat anybody at anything given the opportunity. And if you don't think that's true, look in most workplaces today and see how people climb the ladder of success. It seems to me that is become very uncommon for people to put themselves out at all to help other people. They're not willing to do anything out of their way to be able to assist somebody else. And we've lost really a common respect for our fellow man in our society as a whole. I hope that as I talk about these things this morning, that we as Christians are not acting in these ways. But the problem is that a lot of times anything that begins to happen in society starts to bleed its way into the church. And so you start seeing even Christians acting in ways that they ought not. And so we end up in a society that only cares, where the individuals only care about themselves. And they're not really concerned with other people. Just a couple of examples that I thought of. I can remember, you know, driving through a parking lot and there was a woman in front of me that was looking for a parking spot and she started to turn into a parking spot and there was a grocery cart in the parking spot. She couldn't see it till she started to turn into it. And there was a woman walking right there past the parking spot and she looked over at the cart, looked at the woman driving the car and then walked on through. I mean, how hard would it have been to just move the cart out of the way so she could finish pulling into the parking spot? But she wasn't able to do that. I have seen, and this disturbs me a lot, and I hope that I'm doing better in teaching my children to do better at this. Kids going into like a fast food restaurant or something, and they blow through the door and they let the door fall on somebody walking out of the restaurant. How hard is it for them to just stand there and hold the door and let somebody walk out? It's a common courtesy. I see that as just being a common courtesy. I've had people that I've said yes ma'am to or something say, don't call me ma'am, that makes me feel old. Well, you know, it should make you feel honored that somebody would say that to you. And I'll just tell you what my rule is. My rule is that anybody who's willing to do something for me deserves the respect of being referred to as yes ma'am, no ma'am, yes sir, no sir. And especially, and this, you know, you younger folks listen especially here, anybody that's older than you is deserving of that as well. You know, to have that respect shown of being called sir or ma'am. And we do, as parents, we pass the lack of respect. If we're showing a lack of respect, we pass that on to our children. They look at us and they see how we act and how we respond to different situations. And it may not be intentional at all. Unintentionally, we may pass on bad behavior to our children. And as a society, we have been teaching our kids for years that it's okay for them to rebel against authority. That it's okay for them to not respect their teachers and the police officers and other folks that are in positions of authority. And they've learned that lesson, and then we act all surprised as adults in the society that we have a behavioral problem in our schools after we're the ones that have taught them how to misbehave in that way. And so if we have that problem in society as a whole, it shouldn't be surprising that we start to see it seeping into the church as well. And so we have to ask the question, what's the real problem? And once we identify what the real problem is, how do we fix it? The problem is that we as a society have ignored some of the Bible's simple, plain teachings about how to deal with one another. And we've allowed the worldly thinking to influence our decisions as Christians. We've allowed it to influence how we're going to raise our families. We've allowed it to influence how we're going to act when we're around other people. Paul said that we should consider other people before ourselves. Look at Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, they're beginning in verse 1. Paul wrote, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others." There's a teaching that just flies in the face of what our society has become. To think about the responsibilities that we have to other people even before we think about ourselves. Think of others first. Jesus said that we should go. We need to be willing to go the extra mile. And this is where we take the main idea of our study this morning. In Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. There in verse 38. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go with him too. Give to him who asks, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away." If we understand what Jesus is teaching in this passage, we should return to having common courtesies. And certainly as Christians, we should learn what Jesus is talking about and practice a lot of those common courtesies that we talk about. And if we as Christians, if we're failing to show the kind of kindness that we should to other people, we should be ashamed of ourselves. We should learn how to do that. And if we're doing it, we need to keep doing it and even do more of it. It's an area that we as Christians should be so much different than the world. It should be evident that there is a difference between us and the rest of the world. The concept of going the extra mile, I think, is a difficult one for us to understand. Not that we can't understand the concept itself, but how to put it into practice because of the society that we live in. And really, when we think about it, when Jesus was teaching it, they were having the same problems. In their society, people don't change that much. You can look back and see how they were responding in the first century and understand that the nature of people is still the same. And that's why Jesus had to talk about it, and it's why we need to talk about it today as well. When we have a hard time wanting to do even the least little thing for other people, we're certainly not going to do extra. You know, we try to get by with just the bare minimum, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in just a moment. It's hard to go the extra mile whenever we can't first go that first mile. We're not willing to put ourselves out at all. And we shouldn't feel put out when we're helping other people. And I'm afraid that that's what happens a lot of times, is that people, they're willing to do something, but they kind of feel put out about having to do it. They feel kind of bad about it. And sometimes what we see is that people try to bend what we call the golden rule into being a more politically correct form, and that is, do unto others as they have already done unto you. If somebody has done something really nice for you, it's easy for you to go back and do something nice or considerate for them because you know how they feel about you already. But Jesus' teaching here exemplifies the golden rule as He taught it. Look in chapter 7 of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. It says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also for them, for this is the law and the prophets. You should want to do things for other people. You should want to be helpful for others. Notice that it's not about what actually happens, not actually what they've actually done for you, but it's about what you would want them to do for you. And understanding what you would want them to do for you should make it easy for you to know what you want to do for them, how you want to help them. Understanding the concept of the extra mile means that we have to really seriously think about other people. We have to be able to see where there are needs. We have to be able to see when somebody is struggling with something or when there is a need that has arisen in their lives that we can help to fill. We have to be willing to step in and help. This is one of those areas that I just feel myself, I'm terrible at. I'm terrible at being able to look into other people's lives and see where they need help and be able to volunteer to do that. I'm one of those people that, you know, I can say to them, let me know if you need anything. And that's an easy thing to do, and I mean it. And if they tell me, I'm happy to help. But I'm not very observant as to being able to help notice when somebody needs something. I got a good friend back in Huntington, West Virginia, that is just phenomenal at that. She's just able to know when there is something that is needed by somebody, and she is always busy helping people. And I, after the fact, I go, wow, yeah, they did need that. I'm glad you noticed that they needed that. I wish I would have noticed that they needed that. We need to be more diligent about watching and seeing when there is a need that arises, because the flip side of this, and kind of outside the realm of what I want to focus on this morning, is that we're also not very good about telling people when we need something. We're not very good about asking people to help. And so we need to be diligent about seeing when those needs arise. And so that takes foresight on our part. It takes us being considerate of other people and really focusing on being considerate of other people and training ourselves to look for those things that they need. And that starts with a real desire. We need to have a desire to help before we're going to be looking for those opportunities to help. And that's probably where my downfall is that I'm one of those that can become self-centered and forget to look for those opportunities. And opportunities arise all the time. Opportunities are always going to be there. And there may be just simple little things that you can do that you need to watch out for that you can help other people. I think of that scenario of just holding a door open for somebody who's got their arms full. Holding the door open for somebody that's just coming through just because you want to be nice and offer some kind of help. Those are easy things that we can do, and we'll talk about some other things later. When we train ourselves to see someone needs the help, it's easier for us to be in the right position to be there to help in those circumstances. If we're going to help other people, and I just mentioned this as an application for myself, we need to give up our self-centered attitudes and be willing to go the extra mile. You know, it's easy to become self-centered. And it is a mark of our society, but as I mentioned a moment ago, I do think that that's something that is also a mark of just human nature. We are concerned about ourselves. We want to be concerned about ourselves. And because of being self-centered, sometimes what happens is that we are so focused on ourselves, instead of looking how we can help other people, we're quick to jump on the idea of, how can somebody else help me? And I start to get, you know, frustrated or aggravated with the idea that somebody's not helping me when I think they ought to be helping me. Another thing that I think about with the friend I mentioned a moment ago is that I've seen her in times when she was the one who needed somebody to be helping her, still going and helping other people. She wasn't focused on, you know, herself. She wasn't focused on how other people need to help her, but she was using those opportunities to help others instead. And I see that as a good example for us, that we need to be trying to help other people and not be focused on ourselves. It's easy to try and go the extra mile when we're dealing with people who are our friends. It's easy to go the extra mile when we're dealing with people who are considerate people themselves. People that if I needed something, I know I could call on them. I know that I'm going to be willing to go and help that person. It's going to be much easier for that for me to do that. But realize that when Jesus was teaching in Matthew chapter 5, what we call Matthew chapter 5, He wasn't talking about dealing with people who were going to be nice to you, who were going to do things for you in return for what you did. In fact, He was talking about just the opposite. He was talking about people who were going to be mean to you. He talks about those who would strike you. Somebody strikes you on the cheek, turn the other cheek to them too. If somebody sues you for your garment, give them your cloak also. Somebody asks you to carry something for a mile, carry it for them 2 miles. That's the extra mile that we're talking about. His context has to do with people who would mistreat you, not that those that would treat you in the right way. And when we can understand that principle and we can actually put it into practice, getting it done is the difficult part, then we really understand what Jesus was teaching. Then we know what He was wanting for His people to be if we can act in that way. Going the extra mile is about doing more than what's expected of us. You know, even as Christians, sometimes we try to get by with just the bare minimum. You ever hear somebody say, "Do you have to go to services on Wednesday nights? Do you have to do that?" Well, the wrong perspective is being expressed there. The point should be, we get to do that. We get to worship with the saints. We get to study together. We get to be doing more for the cause of Christ. Do we have to do evangelism? Do we have to do these things? Do we have to talk about the gospel all the time? It's about what we get to do. And instead of trying to get by with the bare minimum, we need to be doing as much as we can. Jesus is teaching us here that it's not about the bare minimum. It's about doing as much as we can in service to God. It's about doing as much as we can to serve in service to others. If somebody is asking you to do something, see what more you can do for them. If you see that somebody needs something in particular, do that and then see what more you can do for them. We see the idea of sacrifice coming through strongly in this teaching. The idea of giving something up for the cause of Christ, being willing to sacrifice for what He wants us to be participating in. And we need to be willing to sacrifice for Him. And we need to be willing to sacrifice for our fellow man as well. There is a burden that comes with going the extra mile. It's not an easy thing to do. I think the very imagery that we're talking about expresses that it's going beyond the bare essentials. That we're doing something more than what is expected of us. Going the extra mile for someone else may cut into our own personal time. You know, we all have those things we like to do. We all have those things that we enjoy participating in, our recreational time and those types of things. We all have those things, but sometimes we might have to give that up to be able to help somebody else in the things that they need done. Sometimes we may have to give up something that we really, really want to do so that we can do for somebody else. We need to make sacrifices of our time to help others. I was thinking of Dorcas in Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, They're in verse 36. It says, at Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive, and it became known throughout all of Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon, a tanner. Dorcas was a woman who was well loved because of what she had been willing to do for others. You see, when they called Peter to her bedside after she had died, all the other widows were sitting there and showing off what Dorcas had done for them. They were things that she had spent time on in making for these others who had a need for them. The things she did were not easy. It didn't take just a little bit of time to make garments for these people. The widows showed off what Dorcas had done for them. Here was a woman who was looked up to because of the types of sacrifices she was willing to make for those who were around her. Another idea of a burden that goes with going the extra mile is that it may put us into a financial pinch. It seems that there are a lot of people who get very tight with their money. They get very greedy with their money, and they're willing to do something for somebody else as long as I don't have to pay anything to do it. And again, I think of that account of Dorcas in making these things for other people, these other widows. She couldn't do that for free. She was sacrificing to be able to provide for others. That wouldn't have been a cheap thing for her to do. But she was content to use what God blessed her with to share with the other people that were around her. Greed is one of those things we don't often think about that can keep us out of heaven. If we're not using the financial blessings that God has given to us in the way that He would want us to use them in being generous with others and helping others, then it can cost us our souls. You remember the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19? That's an account that really helps to illustrate this point. In Matthew 19, there beginning in verse 16, it says, now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said, all these I have kept from my youth, what do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Here was a man who had great possessions, and he was allowing those great possessions to stand between him and his faithful service before God. What Jesus told him was, is you need to sell all that you have and give to the poor. Does that mean everybody has to sell all that they have and give to the poor? Not necessarily. But if it's that possession that is what's standing between you and serving God, the way that you need to be serving God, then the answer is yes. This man allowed his greed, the holding on to physical things, to keep him from doing what Jesus told him to do. And if we're not willing to use our financial blessings the way that God would have us to use them, then we're putting the same emphasis on our financial desires, and we're keeping those things in front of our service, our spiritual service before the Lord. Anytime we go the extra mile, there is going to be cost that is involved. Every aspect of our service before God costs us something. He intends for it to cost us something, and this is no different. We should be helping others. We should be being the best servants that we can be to our fellow man and using what God has blessed us with to help in the ways that we can help. Are we willing to make that kind of a sacrifice? There is cost to going the extra mile, but there is blessing to going the extra mile as well. Far too often, I think in our society, again, this influences the way that we think. We think in terms of what's in it for me. I'm going to do something for somebody else, but I'm looking down the line and saying, well, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of it? If I'm willing to do this, what will I get back from it? Well, when we go the extra mile, there are indeed benefits that we gain from it. But it's not the kind that most people think about. It's not the idea of, I'm going to do something for so-and-so because down the road I'm going to want them to do something for me. That's the way most people look at it. Going the extra mile is not about what we get out of it in our physical way of thinking. Going the extra mile is not going to bring us any kind of fame or fortune. In fact, Jesus talks about if that's why we're doing it, we're going to be condemned for doing it for the wrong motives. If you look over at Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, there in verse 1, Jesus says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Our good works, the things that we do to help people, and charitable deeds that we might participate in, they're not to be done so that we are seen of men. We need to want to do what's right. We need to want to do what's good, and we need to want to do what we can to help other people, but it's not so that other people are looking at us and praising us for the things that we might do. We're commanded to do for all men. In Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul said, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. When we have opportunity, when we're presented opportunity, Paul says, we're supposed to take advantage of that, and we do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. We should gain some satisfaction from doing good for others. Like Dorcas, who performed her acts of kindness in what is clearly a selfless way, as it's recorded for us. We should act selflessly and gain pleasure from doing the things that are right for other people as well. When we go the extra mile, we benefit, but so do those who are receiving those things from us, those things that we are helping with. When we're willing to make sacrifices to help our brethren or help others, they reap a great benefit. They know somebody cares about them. You know, when somebody does something for you, does that not tell you that they care about you? They care about your needs, and they care about your feelings and the things that you might have a need for? And I think sometimes that's what it comes down to. Sometimes what people really need is that comfort that comes from knowing that other people care about them. They know that there are others who are going through similar situations. They know that there are others who care when they're having difficulties. One of the great benefits to being a Christian is to have the kind of family relationship that God always wanted for His people to have. And if we're doing it right, we're going to have that kind of a family relationship among brethren. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus talked about that. In Mark chapter 10, in verse 29 beginning. So Jesus answered and said, well, verse 28, Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last and the last first. See what Jesus is saying there? You end up giving up things in this life to serve me, you get in return a hundredfold of all of those things. You have that familial relationship that exists between all who are the true children of God. When we sacrifice to help those that are not Christians, we provide a good example to them as well. We may make an impression on them. It may open a door where we're able to teach the gospel message. You know, it's interesting that Peter uses that as an example for how a wife who has a husband that is not a Christian, and she might be able to convince him just by her actions. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 1, 1 Peter 3 and verse 1, Peter wrote, wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. So you have a woman who's obeyed the gospel and a husband has not obeyed the gospel, and yet he watches his wife, and by her example and the things that she does as a godly woman, he is convinced then to listen to the gospel message. Wives who go the extra mile may very well be able to convince their husbands to be obedient. The same principle can hold true to those that we might commonly interact with. You know, we can be a good influence on people just by the example that we set before them. We might have opportunity to try to talk to people about the gospel, and they're not interested in that, but they might watch us, and they might see the way that we behave ourselves, and that might eventually convince them that they need to listen to the gospel message as well. And our example may be something that is rooted in what I'm going to call the little things. The things that they see every day and the way that they see us respond. You know, if our friends that we're around in the world, they see us acting rudely towards other people that we come in contact with, our conduct is seen by them, they may not want anything to do with the gospel message because of the example that we have shown. You know, I have seen, and it's sad to say, I have seen some Christians that have just treated people so poorly whenever they're in various situations. I've seen them, for example, go into a restaurant and they're going to sit down and eat, and they will just torment the waitress. I'm not talking about good-natured ribbing and teasing and those types of things. I'm talking about just being ugly with the way that they're... What kind of an example does that set to that waitress that she's going to want to listen to you whenever you want to teach her the gospel? And the worst thing is to see a Christian who treats somebody like that in a restaurant and then leaves a pamphlet on the table. You want to just snatch it up and go, you don't want to be associated with that. Those are the kinds of examples that we set every day. And we need to make sure that whatever the example is that we're putting out there, it's not something that's going to turn people off from wanting to hear the gospel message from us as we move forward. Sometimes we put our own personal egos ahead of the example that we need to set. That's where tempers sometimes come in. Well, you know, our tempers flare and they get the best of us. And I can speak from personal experience on this one too, because that's one of the things that I struggle with the most is keeping a temper under control. But whenever we allow our temper to flare up, it shows a terrible example to those who are around us. And it can happen in a moment. You know, you think about what takes place in our daily lives and what might trigger us to act in an ugly manner. You get cut off in traffic and you start yelling at the person in front of you. You think, well, it's in my car and nobody notices. Well, maybe that person beside you noticed and saw the way that you were acting. Or we don't get just what we want in the restaurant or the bank or wherever we might be. Or this is one that gets me every time. You know, you've been working for 3 hours on something and your computer crashes and deletes the file and you don't have it. And then you're mad and you're yelling at it. Or maybe your siblings don't do exactly what you want them to do and it's easy to start yelling and getting upset with them over that. These are the types of things, the list could go on and on and on. Those little things that cause us to act in a manner that we ought not be acting. We never know when our influence might open the door for us to be able to teach the gospel of Christ to somebody. And so we need to make sure that we're going the extra mile in all the situations that we possibly can. Doing our best to do good for all men, especially those of the household of faith. So that we are showing the light of Christ whenever we're living our lives here on this earth. Well, what's at the end of the extra mile? There are blessings that come to us whenever we go the extra mile. There are blessings that come to those that we're sharing with when we go the extra mile. But there is a greater blessing than even that. The greatest blessing is that when we're doing the will of God, and part of that will is to go the extra mile, there is the eternal reward that is awaiting us. It's not about getting the accolades of men. It's not that pat on the back. It's not the people watching to see what we're doing and praising us for it. It is that God will give the reward. And that's what our goal should be, is that we're serving God. And when we're serving God and serving others, we're serving God by serving others. And therefore, He has promised a reward for serving Him. When it comes to going the extra mile, we need to be diligent in our actions. We need to really work hard. And I see this as a problem on a daily basis for every one of us that are Christians, is to try to block out the negative influences of the society around us. It's so easy to just become a part of what's around us, and there are so many parts of that society that just do not fit with a Christian life, and therefore we need to block those things out. We need to make sure that we're not allowing them to influence the way that we're going to act, how we're going to behave ourselves as Christians. We need to realize that there is going to be burden involved in going the extra mile. There is a burden that will fall on us if we're going to follow the instructions of Jesus and do things the way that He wants us to do them. We're going to have to make sacrifices. If we remember that there are great blessings involved in doing the Lord's work, whatever that might be, it's going to be easier for us to give more of ourselves. You know, if we keep in mind that when we're serving God, there are these great blessings that He's offered to us in this life and in the one to come, then it's going to be easier for us to put ourselves out there. It should be easy for us to serve others, understanding what Jesus has done for us. And so my encouragement this morning is for all of us to work more diligently to do more for other people, to be of service. That's one of the main responsibilities that has been laid on us by God, is that we are to be servants to other people. We are servants to Him. We are servants to our brethren. We are servants to those who are not yet children of God, so that we can have a good influence on those that are around us. And so I think it's pretty evident that no matter how well we do that already, there is always room to grow. There's always more that we can do. We can always do better. And we can continue to strive for that extra mile and do the best that we can in our service before God and our service before others. Thank you for your good attention this morning.